Mike Miranda and Ruthie Unger. Thanks for making time for me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for making time for us.
So first, I want to ask, how did you two meet and start playing music together?
We met in New York City in December of 98. We both were in the city because of theater. We graduated from college shortly before that.
I had just moved to the city that fall and was living with Bard College students who I had met when I was studying abroad. And they invited me to their little alumni shindig and introduced me to Ruthie. She was all dressed up pretty.
Through various mutual theater friends, we ended up colliding at a Christmas party. And
I had just come from working in the kitchen at a hoity-toity restaurant. So I was sort of dressed in like restaurant clothes that didn't fit me. And it was sort of a funny scene. Then
he was doing a lot of music on the side and was very passionate about his songwriting. And
someone suggested I sing a song.
And I came from this super folk background where my parents are both folk musicians, and I spent so much time at folk festivals and camps. And
Ruthie, who really wasn't in the city to play music at all.
I just sort of had it coming out my ears, but wasn't really... It wasn't really my focus. Music was just a part of my family.
As soon as I finished the song, said, play it again. And she sang perfect, beautiful harmony from hearing it once. And that's pretty much what we've been doing for the last 13 or 14 years.
Got me back into pulling my fiddle out, which I hadn't touched in years. And it was an exciting time.
A year after they met, Mike and Ruthie moved to Western Massachusetts. There they became friends with Tao Seeger, grandson of Pete Seeger, and the three of them became the original members of the band The Mammals.
And we toured as The Mammals for the next 7 or 8 years all over the world. That band had a lot of traction, partly because it was a good band and partly because we had all these really strong ties to the folk community through the Seeger relationship and the Unger relationship. So when those two forces joined, we were sort of a force to be reckoned with in the folk community.
And I do want to ask you, the loss of Pete Seeger is on a lot of people's minds and clearly on yours too, because he was a friend of yours and you played with his grandson. What was it like to be, to have the relationship with somebody who is such a legend to so many people?
Yeah, well, we never took it for granted, that's for sure. And we really got to play with Pete many times over the last 10 years. I've been doing interviews and thinking about it a lot this week. It was always very special every time. I mean, it's comical when I think of the type of opportunities we had to share with him. Some of them were musical. Some of them were just sitting around a wood stove telling stories or sharing a dinner. We even went skiing together in Utah, which is hilarious to think. You know, we skied down a mountain with an 85-year-old man at the time. It seemed ridiculous then.
Well, as a kid, I grew up going to the Clearwater Hudson River Revival. My dad used to book the dance stage, which was fantastic, and I used to run around. And when you're a kid, you kind of, you know, you enjoy what's going on. But then when you get older, you know, looking back on it, it was a really rich experience, and it may have seemed awkward to integrate that into my, you know, elementary school or high school life. But as I have grown older, I am just so grateful for that time. And Pete was a big part of that.
His resolve to keep going just kept getting stronger and stronger. And I just sort of got used to him keeping on in that frail state such that it was such a shock when we did hear that he passed away, because we had seen him recently and we were up on stage with him recently. And he was as articulate and confident and charming and charismatic and inspiring as he'd ever been.
He was a pioneer. He was a pioneer of activism, a pioneer of musicianship, and real diversity when it comes to repertoire, and real dedication, as Mike was mentioning, to building community. And I think it's important to also mention his wife, Toshi. Toshi Seeger passed away in July of this year. She was incredibly inspiring as far as being a partner to Pete, the musician, but also a business person, a businesswoman, an incredible artist in her own right, and just generally, she was just such a strong woman. And I really think that growing up knowing Pete and Toshi really had a lot of effect on me as a kid.
And you mentioned, you described Pete Seeger as a pioneer, both as musician and in sort of community building. Do you see that as part of your role as a musician as well, not just a performer, but...
Sure. And I visualize that community in a very local and then also in a very spread out geographical sense. We are working in our community to meet more of our neighbors and have a good time together through music. And then we're also really grateful for the widespread community of the festival scene and the house concerts that we play and the venues that have been keeping it going. And like no matter where we travel these days with our two kids that are 1 and 6 years old. And we're just so grateful. I mean, we get to play music and tour for a living. We've done that for over a decade now. And it's because of this network and community.
And is touring with your two kids, is that a challenge?
It is. And you know, being at home with two kids is a challenge too. So it's all a challenge.
It's definitely hard work, but as far as I can tell, any job is hard work when you apply yourself to it. And that just happens to be our work. When people would ask, I used to say that it seems like a horrible example to set for your kids if you had this career going as a musician and you're living your dream, and then because they came along, you quit. It seems like a horrible message to send and a thing to have to explain to your kid as he gets older, you know? Well, I was a full-time musician living my dream, but then you were born, so I took this day job, you know?
I find when we're on the road, we get into a great rhythm. We get up, we have some breakfast, and we maybe do something that we didn't used to do back in our 20s on the road, like we hit a children's museum or an aquarium or a park or something like that. And then when we get in the car and go on a long drive, it's that's when Mike and I get all our good conversations in the front seat, and the kids take a nice long nap because they usually didn't sleep enough the night before.
I was curious, how do you balance kind of that traditional folk influence with, you know, writing your own songs and you know, creating new stuff?
You know, that's a great question. And we were just talking about the folk process this morning. A lot of what we have done historically is taken these old songs and sort of amped them up or twisted them around in one way or another. And then you have the songs that we write that are totally original. But sometimes we try to pull them into a traditional world, either, you know, with the music or the lyrics, like just sort of nod to something old. Or, you know, Mike has a song that's a definite nod to Bob Dylan that, you know, pretty much copies a Bob melody. But then if you think about it, Bob was copying an old melody. So, so the folk process is a many-layered cake, if you will.
Like, we love the people who have done it before us, like Woody and Pete. One thing Woody always said was that he liked setting words to old songs because the songs would already seem familiar to people, and they maybe would think they liked the song more than they do. And they'd know the melody already, so they could sing along to these new words. It was already part of their experience.
You know, as with our old band, The Mammals, we're very comfortable interspersing something bluesy with something sort of poppy and then something old-timey. And it makes it a little more hard to describe what you do, but sure makes the show a lot more fun.
Well, thank you so much. And it was a pleasure to talk to both of you.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for calling us, Natalie. And we're really excited to be back in Wisconsin and in the middle of winter.
I'm out here in the world. I left my child, left my girl, do my dishes, kiss my picture, and I toast my memory. Toast my memory. Well, the further that I travel, the more my mind unravels. There are things I can't remember, but they live in my body. They live in my body. Why am I? Still learning all this. my head was in your lap. The head was in your lap.